Yeah. You know what time it is?
What
we
time?
We can let down our hair. The moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's Safe Harbor Dark 30, which means absolutely anything potentially offensive is likely to be heard during the next the next hour. So if you are easily offended, I suggest you tune out. If the kids are still up, get them to bed. If you are one of said children, no. Change the channel. Find some nice Wiggles music to listen to or something, because the Dark 30 is probably won't make a whole lot of sense to you, but some of it's just face value, you know. It's anyway, I'm trying to warn you is what I'm trying to do. I'm coming off, I'm a little confused here. It's like being busted on the verge of doing something very bad.
You're rambling, Vance.
I'm not backing down. I'm just telling you, be prepared. From Oregon, and I told Shelley, you know, I'm going to read this one because I think we can compare it to Inbred Rednecks.
Also,
we can use it as a
you're our creepy guide across the river Styx.
Oh yeah, I am. I am your creepy guide across the river Styx. anyway, Oregon man was jailed and accused of sexually assaulting chicken at fair. An Oregon man facing charges after he allegedly sexually assaulted a chicken. The 27-year-old chicken plucker was arrested this week. The man allegedly unlawfully and for the purpose of arousing and gratifying the sexual desire of a person touched or contacted the sex organs of a chicken. The man was found to the horror of an egg farm in the chicken coop when the owners entered to feed the chickens. During a spring exhibition, the area the man was in was potentially viewable by anyone attending the fair. He is facing a list of charges, including sexual assault of an animal and public indecency. He is also facing charges for violating the terms of his probation for possession of meth. Any connection there?
No.
Yeah. But anyway,
people who do stimulants don't touch chickens.
If you have never seen the epic film Inbred Rednecks, directed by one Joshua P. Warren, I suggest you look that up. That's not on Netflix yet, is it? Josh needs to get his Inbred Rednecks. It's out there. I'm sure you could.
It's on my Google Drive.
You could probably find it streaming somewhere. It's been even released on DVD in later years with a commentary track. That's fun to listen to the commentary track on Inbred Rednecks. Have you ever listened to the commentary track, Shelley?
I don't have the DVD.
Need to get the DVD with that commentary track.
Here's a little trivia. Kiss Country, CMA Award winning Kiss Country DJ Eddie Fox was in Inbred Rednecks.
Okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't Sweet Meat the Midget. You know, I met Sweet Meat the Midget.
That's Casey,
downtown.
Right?
That's Casey.
Is Casey any kin to Eddie?
Well, that's not his real name, but that's his radio name. And I think back when he was in Inbred Rednecks, he was not going by Eddie Fox, I don't think, back then. Because this is back in the old building. He used to be on the radio way back then, and then he went on to be a big Nashville DJ and...
Every now and then, I'm reminded of a scene from Inbred Rednecks. I was taking my son to karate lessons over at the Stevens Lee Center off of MLK. It's between MLK and South Charlotte Street. Yeah. If you know where Stevens Lee Center is, there's a basketball court, and you can see the back of the city and the county buildings there. There's a scene in Inbred Rednecks, where said redneck go to the city and see black people for the first time. And in this scene that was shot at that basketball court, there's some black dudes over there playing basketball, and the big fat Bubba character says, "Look, black people." And it's hilarious. It's just hysterical. And then they go and they play basketball, and they get their butts kicked playing basketball. Anyway, it was just the other day when taking my son to karate lessons that I was reminded of that scene.
I haven't seen that movie since Rednecks. I rented it on VHS back in 90-something.
I probably said it, but I bought a copy when it was brand new from Red Dot. The Red Dot out there near the Madison County line.
Yeah.
Because
it used to be the only place you could get beer.
Johnny Capps was also one of the producers of Inbred Redneck, so of course he had copies of the VHS for sale there, and I bought one. And I also bought a sticker the same day I bought that video that had a Confederate flag, and it said, "We don't care how you do it up north, we're still bass ackwards." Down south. Well, fire set to scare off opossums. I can't call them opossums. Fire set to scare off possums destroys man's wooden house. The O is silent. A Pennsylvania man trying to scare away possums by setting a fire has destroyed his home. That is sad. A row house blaze in Lancaster began when a man used a butane torch to light a pile of leaves in his backyard on fire. The man apparently hoped to the smoke would help rid him of the marsupials. There we go. We mentioned possums being marsupials.
Weird.
Previously tonight. Speaking of strange, which are known for playing dead, the man said his attic was infested with them. A city fire marshal says the fire got out of control and spread to his home, which was built of wood, the home, and most likely the possums in the attack were consumed by the fire. The building was condemned. Three people were displaced as a result of the fire in other nearby homes. Did $50,000 worth of damage. A firefighter required hospital treatment. Officials say the man had problems with bees also, and the man told fire officials, while he deeply regretted all the harm he had caused, he was glad the possums and bees had been destroyed. He said, "There's always a silver lining to every cloud, and this is what homeless shelters were made for." Okay.
Aww.
Possums and bees and your house. Let's ramp this up a little bit here. What do we got here? A man accused of murder asks to show penis to jury in oral sex choking defense. This is one that you ran across, Sam. This is one that you... You want to do the honors?
Shelly has highlighted the entire page.
Yeah. She's very, very selective.
Every word except for the web address. A Broward County judge is being asked to allow a Florida man charged with murder to disrobe in front of a jury to help prove he did not kill his girlfriend on purpose. Now, that's odd in and of itself. A man accused of murdering his girlfriend in her bedroom is now saying she accidentally choked to death while performing oral sex. He wants a judge's permission to show the jury his penis to prove it. While his request is unusual, the man's lawyer said it is key, integral even, to his argument, which he called a variation on the, quote, rough sex defense that has been used in numerous trials across the country over the years. The heart of the argument, or as Don Henley would say, the heart of the matter, which is not often successful, is similar in each case. The victim died by accident while engaged in consensual activity. If the disrobing were to take place, the man requested that it happened outside of public view, with only the circuit judge Michael Rothschild, lawyers, a bailiff, the jury, and the defendant present, all of whom would be so lucky, I say. It's rare in a murder case that the medical examiner can't say the manner of death is a homicide, the lawyer said. All that my client is guilty of is having a huge penis. If it stands up in court,
that was a bump. Oh, that was a Florida story. Did we ring the bell?
I didn't say Florida. Yep. Yeah, Florida.
Did I not highlight that part?
You did, but I read the headline without mentioning FLA, Broward County.
That's a good one, though.
Mm. Yeah, well, geez, I don't know. Somebody died.
Well, I mean, that wasn't a good part. Obviously, nobody, we're not advocating.
I mean, how is he, what?
He's saying that, like, if he was hung like a sand flea, that it would, then that could not have been, you know, a feasible option. But if he's hung like a Tommy Lee, then theoretically, you know, I mean, Vance, I don't know, the trachea, you see, the uvula, Andy. Yeah, I threw in a little Andy. It's a uvula, Andy, a uvula. Everybody's got one.
I suppose the argument would be, take a look at this. She knew what she was.
You could
getting.
Die off of that. Yeah. You can see that, people.
I mean, I just like putting a plastic bag over your head. You kind of expect.
Well, I mean,
to
I don't
die,
think anybody.
Don't
no one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Oh my goodness, the full power of swearing is starting to be discovered. Good news for anyone who often finds himself biting their tongue when pushing through the final stages of a workout. Swearing can boost muscle strength and stamina, a study has found. Whether you're cycling up a hill and need extra oomph or simply trying to open a tightly closed jar, a good dose of foul language may be what it takes. Psychologists from the University of Keeley conducted tests in which some participants were asked to swear before either doing an intense session on an exercise bike or squeezing a device that measures hand grip strength. In both situations, they found that swearing rudely resulted in significant improvements in performance compared with uttering neutral words, which are no fun anyway.
Heck no!
We'll be right back with more of the Dark 30 Hour. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. This is the Dark 30 Hour, so if you're a bit squeamish, if you're easily offended, if you're not up for this,
if you haven't got your shots,
sort of raunchiness, if you haven't got your shots, tune out. Just a warning. Man enters a home, discharges fire extinguisher, and prays with residents. I think that's probably one of those stories where the headline says it all, but let's examine a little more closely here. East Union Township, Ohio, a bizarre case prompted the Wayne County Sheriff's Office to issue a reminder for residents to lock their doors. In a video posted on the Wayne County Sheriff's Facebook page, The captain said a 20-year-old man walked into the home of a East Union Township couple, discharged a fire extinguisher on them to wake them up in their bed, and then laid at the foot of their bed and told them he was packing heat and not to move. Shortly thereafter, the man of the house talked the intruder into having a short time of prayer before the intruder left into the darkness. After leaving the house, the man stole a golf cart from a nearby business. When deputies pulled over the golf cart, the man identified himself as Jesus the Christ. Things got very strange in a hurry. The man stated he wanted to have some heavy-duty fornication with the deputies. The deputies just were not interested in having that type of relationship with the man. Go figure, the man told police, "You should be honored that Jesus the Christ loves each of you this much." Hunter said the man was handcuffed and taken to the hospital for a mental evaluation. The man faces a number of charges for allegedly entering the home and stealing the golf cart. The case should serve as a reminder to lock your doors, because you never know who might be wandering about in the middle of the night and just walk into your home.
Jesus. The Christ.
The sheriff's office suspect the man was on drugs, but this is no situation you want to wake up to at the foot of your bed at 3 a.m. Yeah, that could be potentially dangerous, being sprayed in your sleep with a fire extinguisher, I might think, also.
But you should be so lucky that Jesus the Christ did it.
By Jesus, yep.
The Christ.
The Christ. Shelly, you ready with the bell?
I'm ready.
Florida woman agreed to swap sex for $25 and some chicken nuggets, police say.
Huh.
Been a while since we had a McDonald's food for
a
sex story.
Filleting nugget story.
This in Bradenton. Florida authorities have charged a woman with prostitution after they say she agreed to perform a sex act on an undercover detective for chicken McNuggets. A 22-year-old female was being held Sunday without bond at the Manatee County Jail on charges of prostitution, possession of drug paraphernalia, and on outstanding warrants. An undercover detective told the woman he wanted oral sex, and she agreed to do it. As they briefly went back and forth on the price, she finally agreed to perform the act for $25 and some chicken nuggets, but demanded the McNuggets first.
Now, were these the big chain, the McD's chicken nuggets, or were these like some off-brand, like, you know, store-bought?
Well, the article here from...
Because I can see, if they were fresh out the fryer, you know, McNuggets.
Yeah.
Oven nuggets?
They're using the Mick in here. They're throwing a trademark around, but, you know, this came from ClickOrlando.com.
Well, if it's from Bradenton, yeah, I mean, it's... Who knows? McD's, what?
What? Denmark Brewer makes beer using human urine.
Oh.
There was a urine beer or treated sewage water being made into beer story,
Vance,
recently.
When you're out on the road, you can stay at any motel you want, but never stay in your inn.
Never stay in your inn. Mm. A brewer in Denmark is making beer using human urine. The specialty Pilsner is called...
A Pilsner.
Pilsner, yes, Pilsner. A name derived from wordplay on the type of beer.
Was
and
it really?
Local slang, yes.
I didn't even read the story.
Yes. The brew is made with malting barley. I thought you could sense my reluctance in pronouncing what they call the beer, because it could be pronounced with a short I, but Pilsner is better.
I just thought I was being all creative and. No.
It's made with malting barley fertilized by the contents of urinals at the largest music festival in Northern Europe. The 50,000 liters of human waste liquid was used as an alternative to traditional liquids. The reason why we make this Pilsner beer is because we are a craft brewery out of Copenhagen, and about 4 years ago we converted into organic. So all our beers are organic today. Henrik Vang, chief executive of the brewer Norbro Brygghus, said.
Is that the correct pronunciation, or did you just make that up?
I think that's pretty correct. Norbro Brickhus.
Okay.
We thought it would be a great idea also to go into recyclable beer. So we want to test our brewers and test our opportunities to make recyclable beer, he said. Denmark's Agriculture and Food Council named this technique beer cycling and said Pilsner could become a trendy, sustainable brew. Shelley has highlighted the entire page worth of this story. I think we've probably gotten where we need to go with that.
We've given you too much liberty with the highlighter.
Sometimes we need to expand a little bit.
It's the highlight, the key talking point.
Right.
Here's the punchline anyway. The batch of urine collected from the initial music festival, is enough to produce 60,000 bottles of beer.
Wait, how much pee?
50,000 liters.
Oh, okay.
Can produce 60,000 bottles of beer. After that, the brewers are going to have to decide if they want to keep putting the pee in Pilsner. Some of these journalists that try to make funny, not funny. That's just bad. That's not even joke writing.
No, but you can. I mean,
putting the pee in Pilsner. Yeah.
It's weak sauce.
Woman eats 7,000 English pounds. I don't know where this news source is. It's coming from the BBC. So they translated the amount of money.
So 7,000 pounds, let me guess, that's going to be roughly $9,200.
It does sound
I think it's going to be. I think it's about article. $2 to a pound.
Not anymore, buddy. Not anymore. It's about $1.40-something.
It's translated in the article.
So what's
okay.
it say? What's
well,
it,
let's see.
Well, you highlighted everything, so.
Well, last week I didn't highlight everything, and he read everything I didn't highlight.
Did we get that the woman eats 7,000 English pounds worth of food, 7,000 English pounds worth of her life savings to spite cheating
she
husband?
She ate the money, the currency.
She literally
7,000 pounds.
She literally ate the money. A woman in Colombia has eaten her entire life savings to stop her cheating husband getting his hands on the money after he said he was taking their life savings and running off with a younger woman. The woman's actions were only discovered after she was taken to hospital suffering abdominal pains. Doctors then found bundles of notes inside her stomach. She took the extreme steps of eating the $100 bills after he discovered the hiding place and demanded half of it.
100-pound notes.
Relatives and doctors only discovered she'd eaten them after carrying out tests. Director of surgery at the university hospital said 57. These were $100 bills.
100-pound notes.
Right. 57 of them. They were found and extracted by the orifice opened in the stomach. Some extra rolls of money were found in the intestine, which advanced to the colon. She ate rolls of bills. They were not wrapped up for any form of illicit transport, he added. It seems it was an act of desperation by this woman due to the problem she was facing to ingest these elements. And this, of course, affects the patient's normal intestinal functioning.
As of today, Saturday the 13th, the exchange rate on 7,000 pounds is $9,022.
Okay.
You know, I'm thinking you're both missing the whole point, which is she ate money. And money is disgusting. And
especially British money.
Blech.
Covered in cocaine.
Following the successful procedure to remove the cash,
he's going.
The woman said she was now saving for a luxury holiday. We'll be right back. It's Speaking of Strange.
believe, but what about us? 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 Because it's time after time, we're stuck behind the line. What about us? What about us? And they won't admit defeat when it pours into the street. So what about us? What about, what about us? What about us?
What about the Dark 30? On Speaking of Strange, it's well underway, and we got more. We got prisoner campaigning for sex dolls for 82,000 prisoners to release testosterone. A prisoner has written that he believes Britain's 82,000 male inmates should be given sex dolls as they are filled with testosterone and need an outlet. The 48-year-old man who was jailed for 17 years in 2012 for drug dealing said that he came up with the idea after watching Sex Toy Secrets on Channel 4. Writing in the latest edition of Inside Time, a prison magazine, he said that because they weren't allowed conjugal visits, they should get sex dolls for good behavior. The frustration of this situation makes these young men restless and wanting to cause mischief. He pointed to the fact that some European countries allow conjugal visits, but it is unlikely that it would ever be accepted in the UK. He added, it might help to alleviate this ongoing problem and in turn help de-stress the wings of every establishment, the length and breadth of our nation.
Can I just point out from a logistical standpoint, he's saying that they should be allowed sex dolls. If you take into account that a sex doll is roughly the same size as an adult human, and you've already got overcrowding issues, really, he should be lobbying for, you know, fleshlights, which are
more
much
portable
smaller,
devices.
Portable, you know, a sex doll. You got one of those. What, are you going to share? Like one for every 50 guys? No, like he wants everybody to have one. Then you double the population. Where are you going to put all these dolls?
You got a point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, some small and portable.
Just from a logistics standpoint.
Yeah. Jeez.
Psychologists, this is somewhat related. Psychologists say you should masturbate at work.
I heard this. I fully agree.
May, coming right up here. May is, well, we are, it's May already.
I'm wow. at work.
Jeez, it's May.
You better not.
May is a National Masturbation Month. Don't worry if you forgot to get someone a card. But before you celebrate in the privacy of your own home, have you ever considered perhaps indulging in Planet Earth's favorite pastime at work? Mark Sargent, psychology lecturer at Nottingham Trent University, told Metro that a masturbation break would be very effective at work and a great way to relieve tension and stress.
True that.
Certainly taking a masturbation break for boredom or an escape would increase work focus. He suggested that a masturbation policy might result in more focus, less aggression, higher productivity, and more smiling. More smiling? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Masturbation breaks at work are now officially endorsed by science. He also suggests that one should not fantasize about colleagues, as this might result in cognitive impairment or just inappropriate workplace conduct. Apparently, the benefits of such shenanigans include relieving boredom, stress, and horniness, and possibly even cure a terrible hangover. All office pervs may rejoice with the blessing of science.
We used to have a guy, I'm not going to go into any details, but we had to use the process of elimination because every day at a certain time, you'd go into the men's room and there was evidence that somebody was doing that well before it was suggested in the news outlets, and we'd be like, oh, who is doing it? And so we had to start, you know, being like, who's in the building? Who could it be? It was a pretty gross thing.
And you figured it out?
Even for Dark 30, I can't go into the nitty-gritty on this story, but it happened.
And somebody wasn't being very clean about it.
No.
I mean, I would think that if you were to relieve yourself, just like you relieve yourself in any other fashion, you might want to clean up after yourself. Kind of reminds of the... Never mind.
Continue.
Man has eel removed from body after prank went wrong and it swam up his anus. This story might make you feel a little unwell, but imagine how uncomfortable it must be for the guy on the operating table. He got an eel stuck in his backside as a result of a prank gone wrong.
Boy, you got an eel in your backside.
Initially, it was believed the eel may have been inserted for sexual kicks, but that doesn't seem to be the case. His friends allegedly tossed the Asian swamp eel into the man's bathwater as a joke, but then it swam into his body and disappeared.
No longer funny.
No. Images and video footage from the Second People's Hospital of Yibin, Southwest China, show medics having found the animal inside the man's body using an endoscope. After having cut him open, they removed the eel by slowly lifting it out of him, astonishing the nurses and other staff inside the operating theater. The eel even appears to be still alive, twitching as the doctor removes it using a pair of forceps. The man is now recovering from the operation and is not expected to suffer any long-term injuries as a result of the prank gone horribly wrong. The hospital said, "We see a lot of this kind of thing in China. 6 months ago, a woman intentionally did this to herself during a live sex cam show. She survived the stunt, which was aimed at gaining fans online, but had her account terminated for the inappropriate material and had to undergo the same painful operation. Last month, there was a case of another patient with an eel stuck up his backside. He had put the 2-foot eel up his backside in a bid to cure himself of constipation. He ended up in hospital in Guangzhou, China, with a severe stomach ache. He, too, required the same major surgery. The hospital strongly urges people to keep eels out of their bottoms to avoid painful surgery."
Hey, Vance, you know what forceps are better than?
What's that?
Fiveps.
Okay.
I'll
take your word for it. Shelley, is there anything else over there? We're down to...
You're down to the last eels and anuses.
Eels and anuses.
We got another segment left here in a couple.
Sure. Well, let's see. Shelley's not real happy about some of this. Deer spot. I did catch this. Notice of this. I saw footage.
You're talking about
not long ago about a deer eating a bird, but here they have seen a deer eating human remains.
That was another video I did not watch.
Forensic scientists studying human decomposition in the body there's a typo there, spotted an unexpected animal chewing on the remains. They spotted a deer chewing on a human rib during a study aimed at examining how human remains decompose in the wild. Scavengers take advantage of opportunities to eat, and carcasses left in the wild often decay quickly because animals can make quick work of the remains, even human remains. Known as body farms, some research facilities study how human remains decompose in the open air, including which animals interact with the corpse. Foxes, turkey, vultures, raccoons, and other scavengers are commonly seen helping themselves to decomposing bodies. Researchers at the Forensic Anthropology Research Facility in San Marcos, Texas, set up a camera to see whether any other scavengers would stop by, and they were not disappointed. It's a field filled with rotting corpses, but no one is burying these bodies just yet. In a study published this week in the Journal of Forensic Sciences, researchers highlighted their finding. Deer, too, will partake in human flesh if it's available. White-tailed deer are considered herbivores and subsist on a diet of readily available plants, including twigs, fruits, nuts, alfalfa, and the occasional fungi. This is the first time scientists have observed deer eating human flesh. though they have been known to turn carnivorous in the past, eating fish, dead rabbits, even live birds. But this is the first time they have been observed to eat human.
Ribs are delicious, Vance.
Yeah. Deers.
They got
eating,
one of them.
Eating ribs. They're just turning the tables.
I think in Mississippi, I think at the University of Mississippi or Ole Miss, something like that, they got a body farm. Or no, is it in Tennessee, actually? They got a body farm.
That's kind of creepy, but
that's how they can tell. Like if you're doing like how long has this body been how long has this body been dead? You can tell by the maggots, the larvae, the pupa,
right?
And so that's how they tell on the clock, so to speak, is by taking cadavers and leaving them in the elements for nature to do its bidding. You know,
sure, all very clinical and practical.
It's not something you'd want to accidentally stumble across in a drunken stupor one night. That could be messy. I stepped in a dead dog once on River Road back when the Dreamland Flea Market was in play. And I was walking, you know, there's not a whole lot of room there. You got the river right there.
Right.
And you got the U-Haul place, you know, and I was pushing my bike. And I was like...
You stepped
and
in,
I was like, what
in
is,
a dead
it was
dog.
A dog.
Ugh.
It was really gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, those body farms, discovering deer eating human bones.
I saw the picture, and the deer was looking at like the motion camera, and it was like, and it was like it knew that it was like it got caught.
Bambi munching on human bones down there at the body farm.
Maybe it's like, you know, they got some blueberry chipotle human deer ribs. You ever had venison? I don't guess venison would make good ribs.
This was more like menison. We'll be right back with the final segment of Speaking of Strange.
Bad Madison. Bad medicine.
Bad medicine is what I need. The final minutes of this week's Speaking of Strange, we're just going crazy in here. Now's the time we can down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some damn fun.
I'm your creepy guy.
I'm your creepy guide across the River Styx.
You're a little late there.
Yeah.
A little late.
I came in without my scripts tonight. I'm gonna make that apology. So if I missed a few words, I can generally remember the first couple lines. But yeah, I lost. Asheville story. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna do an Asheville story, and then we're gonna talk Asheville business.
Okay.
In the last few minutes.
In the shooting the poo segment?
Right. We know Mackenzie Lunsford. She wrote this story. Do you know Mackenzie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Asheville, food trucks have passed the point of food movement. They've become an ingrained part of American culture, playing parts in insurance commercials and movies, and now they've really gone to the dogs. There's a pet-centric food truck traveling about Asheville. The truck will have a backyard-style lounge area lined with a picket fence where pet selfies, parentheses, pelfies, with a question mark, are encouraged.
Oh, shoot me now.
A local dog trainer will offer free training sessions and espouse the benefits of using positive reinforcement. When dogs are fit and trained using positive reinforcement, they're happier dogs, said pet expert Steve Dale, a certified animal behavior consultant, syndicated pet columnist, and radio host. They'll let anybody be a radio host these days.
Look at you, look at us.
Look at us.
If they're overweight, and more than half of dogs in the United States are carrying extra pounds, they're more likely to develop health issues like type 2 diabetes. Heart disease, and even cancer. American pet nutrition, makers of Vitabone artisan-inspired treats and Supreme Source grain-free dog food, sponsors the Good Stuff Pet Truck Tour.
Can I just say, also in the same token, have you been to the Ingles lately? And it's somewhere in the frozen food section. You'll be like, doo-doo-doo, and you're looking. And they have dog stuff, like frozen dog treats, right next to like the ice cream and stuff.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, it's like if you're totally not paying attention, you could easily make a slip up there. It's like they should really...
Ew.
Yeah.
That's just called first world problems to the matter. Like, we got enough disposable income for dog food trucks, and there's people hungry.
You know the business I'm more interested in than dog food trucks? I'm more interested in the paranormal boutique business. How's
Me
everything
too.
Over there at Nevermore Mystical Arts?
Oh, it's always fun. It's always interesting. I had a bunch of listeners coming this week.
What are all Excellent. The skulls named?
What is what?
What are all the skulls named?
Bob. They're
all
Bob. All
the skulls named Bob at Nevermore Mystical Arts. 1271 Sweeten Creek Road right here in Asheville. That's kind of south Asheville. But, yeah, we'll take it. Sweeten Creek Road, 1271, right across from the Retro Lube, right next to Wright's Coin Shop. The coin shop staying busy.
It is staying busy. This is a good time of the year. It's spring. Everybody is clearing out their houses, trying to get things in order, which means they're bringing stuff to the shop and selling it, which means you get great deals and fun new stuff for your collections.
When Missy was in last week, she mentioned a specific deck of cards, a mythology card set or King Arthur card set or something like that.
What she had gotten were some greeting cards.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think anybody in Asheville carries these cards. They're beautiful. So I had a couple that of listeners from Winston-Salem that heard what she said, and they were coming our way anyway.
Well, that's cool.
And they stopped into the coin shop, and they stopped in to see me, too. And, yeah, it was good seeing them.
Well, that's neat. Of course, you do have tarot cards.
I do.
As well, though.
I do.
Various
I've got a
sets.
Really, really nice tarot card sets. Different sizes.
Yeah. Very cool. I urge listeners to get down there and check out Nevermore Mystical Arts.
I should get my new line of hoodoo candles in this next week. So that's an exciting new addition.
Hoodoo is, guru?
Is that a connection you made on your tour?
It sort of is. It is. It's a company that I discovered when I was down there.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. I haven't been back over there since you got back from New Orleans and points south, so we need to check that out. Yep. Speaking of strange, what can I tell you? It's a weird world. The world's getting more and more insane.
I mean, you're just all sorts of backwards today. I tell you what. more and more insane.
We were going to do a slinging the poo.
Shooting the
poo. I don't even know.
With?
Shelvanza Sam.
Shelvanza Sam. A new segment.
That's
Shooting the Poo with Shelvanza Sam.
Maybe next week. Maybe next week. Show Vance a Sam. Get a word in. Thanks to Brian Hall, Joshua Warren, Mobius, Joshua Dindy, all you fine listeners.
Show Vance a Sam.
Show Vance a Sam. Let's do it again next week, shall we?
Maybe. Got to look at the calendar.
Speaking of strange, good night.